Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Only the best run here at the Indianapolis 500.
Mario, who do you feel you'll have to beat in this year's race?
People like A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unser, for instance.
Stand by for the checkered flag.
Absolutely incredible. Danny Sullivan spun in front of Mario Andretti.
A.J. has done it. He has won his fourth Indianapolis 500.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson. Brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store. On 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
Outside the box store and inside the Hensley Legal Group Command Center. It happens. Hire Hensley. Is where you find Landon Kunz, Mike Thompson, and myself, Jake Query, on this, finally, at last, even though it is not our first episode of this particular season, it is the first on the first day of May. The greatest month is here in Indianapolis, and that means, and this is what is oh so exciting about it, when you think about Beyond the Bricks, and you think about the shows that we talk about with the history, the names, the faces, the personalities, the stories that make the Indianapolis 500-mile race what it is, we all sit now in anticipation that perhaps this year there will be another story that we will add to the long archive of great events to have taken place at 16th and Georgetown. And of course, over the course of the years, those stories that took place, those personalities that were illuminated to all of us, came way more often than not than through the voice of Sid Collins. And Mike, tonight, a night when we take a look back at Sid Collins and celebrating him, but also doing so with kind of a different angle and a different lens than we've done in the past.
Yeah, a lot of times when we honor Sid, we play, you know, his great calls and stuff from the radio broadcast directly. But tonight I thought we'd do it a little differently and play some interviews and clips that folks may not have heard of. Now, there'll be a couple Beyond the Bricks classics here tonight, but for the most part, this is all going to be fresh stuff that people haven't heard of Sid. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Like, for example, our first clip. Let's go back to 1959 when Sid was with Paul Russo and was doing an interview that turned into subject matters that you wouldn't necessarily think two in racing would be talking about. Like, for example, the boxer Jack Dempsey or stomach aches?
First of all, Paul, congratulations, of course, to you for making your 14th race.
Thank you, Sid. And it was real hard to make a decision to leave the Novi supercharged engines here at this year. But I think it's one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. But we were into a trouble problem that I guess we just couldn't conquer. And I talked to Gene Marsnak, and he has felt very, very bad.
Well, how fast was the Novi going, Paul, when you got out of it? 130 bracket?
138, 139.
Well, it being the most powerful engine here at the Speedway, how can you figure that it hasn't gotten up to speed this year with a great driver like yourself?
Well, I guess it would take a fellow like, if you took Jack Dempsey and he had a stomach ache, we at one time figured him one of the toughest contenders in a boxing match, and he had a belly ache, he would be pretty hard for him to get in there and fight 15 rounds in a championship fight. That's the way we have with the engines, and it's we have got a lot of power out of them, but it's got a belly ache, and we couldn't just get it fixed.
Well, Gene Marsnak is a true veteran, too, which made you a great team. He's been here since the 1920s in racing, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. His 39th year here. He come over with a French team years ago, went back home and come back again, and went to work for De Palma, and stayed in this country ever since. And 2 years ago when we went to Italy, we stopped in Paris. That was the first time he'd been in Paris in 25 years, and then he visited with his family after the Monza race, and he sure enjoyed himself, and he was one happy fellow when he got to Paris. It was nice to get home, I guess.
Well, Paul Russo, you gave us great thrills here in the Novi cars over the years, as did other great Novi drivers, Duke Nalen, Ralph Hepburn, Chet Miller, and the whole gang. It is definitely the fastest car at the Speedway on the straightaway, isn't it?
I'll guarantee you that's one automobile that'll give you the biggest thrill of your life, of any race driver's life, going down a straightaways here at the Indianapolis Speedway.
Well, now, Paul, you held an unofficial track record here a couple of years ago in 1956 at 146.6 miles per hour in the Novi. And this year is down to, you say, 130 bracket, and you couldn't even qualify it for the race. What happened over the winter? Let's leave the stomachache out of it now, because it couldn't have been suffered all winter long.
There hadn't been too much change in the engine. We went to fuel injection, and this engine here, I've checked it out at all speeds for Gene. Had all kinds of gauges on it, and up to 4,000, 5,000, the engine is good. But our top RPM is 7,500, and it seems that when we get above 6,500, that this we're starving for fuel and can feed it. And just what the problem is to get it there, to get enough of it in there at that speed, we were a little baffled at this time.
A lot of people wonder in the Novi, for example, how many miles of a gallon does that car consume of fuel?
I have, during practice runs and warm-ups and things like that, but during practice runs, we generally run about a gallon a lap or a gallon every 2.5 miles.
Wow, that's not for the highway, is it?
I guess it's an alcoholic.
Yes, evidently. That has a stomachache.
Maybe you ought to quit drinking alcohol.
Why, Paul, the Novi car has not qualified as yet. As we told the fans who are listening to us now, we're talking to you a bit earlier in the afternoon as part of the program on tape recording, because you'll be out there, I'm sure, helping Cousin Eddie try to get in the race a bit later on. Do you think the Novi will make any attempt today with another driver?
One thing I can say about it is that Gene Marsnak has had very few minutes of sleep since he's been here at the racetrack and we're running. And I just come from the garage, and he has the car up on jacks. I took a ride in it, and it feels like something is starting to tighten up in the engine. And they are still working on it. They had taken it off to check it to see if they could find any possible little thing that could cause this.
Then we hope it will come back today.
Yes, I do. I'd like to see it in the race. Even if I can't drive it, I'd sure like to see it in the race.
Sure happy to see you in the race. Thank you very much, and good luck on Saturday.
Thank you, Sid.
Right. That was Paul Russo, car number 45, 45-year-old grandfather from Webster Groves, Missouri. Now stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing.
Paul Russo, by the way, raced in 14 Indianapolis 500s. He had 5 top 10 finishes in his time. He passed away in 1976, and his resting place is at Crown Hill Cemetery in Indianapolis. Don't know about stomach aches for Jack Dempsey and how much we can elaborate on that. But Sid Collins in 1963 was with one of the most interesting driver-owner combinations in 500 history. Mickey Thompson and Mastin Gregory. This is how it sounded in 1963.
And Mickey Thompson's a man who says he's going to win this race someday, no matter how long it takes. Within reason, I trust, Mickey.
Someday we hope to, Sid. Probably 2 or 3 years away from now, but we're getting closer all the time.
Now, these cars you have are called the Mickey Thompson Harvey Aluminum Specials and variations of that name, because there are 5 cars, and they're most unusual and radical. I wonder if you describe the cars to our audience, wheel size, so on, and the aluminum features thereof, and give us a run on what happened to the 5 so far this month.
Well, Sid, I think the most controversial ones are the ones that have the small tires on. They're 12-inch tires that they use in the midget race cars at the regular midget races. They are powered by rear-engine Chevrolets. They weigh a little over 1,000 pounds, which you know is about 500 pounds lighter than a conventional Offenhauser. And I think in a year or so, you'll see these cars really going fast around this racetrack.
You're the man who brought the rear-engine car to Indianapolis last year with Dan Gurney. Does it make you pleased that you're being copied this year?
Yes, it does, Sid.
Go ahead and run through the rest of the activities of your racers, your drivers, and your 5 cars for us, if you will, sir.
Well, we have a very unusual circumstance right now, Sid. We have 5 cars and only 2 race drivers. Of course, we came here with the idea of getting 2. If we had 2 race cars in the race, we'd be very, very happy. And right now, Mastin Gregory has done a terrific job for us. He's had 3 of our cars running over 147 miles an hour, but unfortunately, he only can drive one of them come race day. Then Dwayne Carter has ran one of the cars over 148 also. So that's the 2 cars we hope to have in a race. Right now, as you know, Mastin Gregory has ran a little over 147.5 miles an hour in his qualification runs today. And next week, we'll have Dwayne Carter qualify any other car.
Do you mind when people call your car a big go-kart, scooter, and caddy cart, and so on?
No, we call it the skate around our own garage. I think it's very, very, I think it's funny. Someday we hope that they're all skates around here because we think we're going the right direction.
Thank you, Mickey. I'll be back with you before we wind up the interview. I want to talk with Masson Gregory. He was born in Kansas City and now lives in Paris, France. I know you've been asked the question before, Masson, but why Paris? Nearer racing?
Sid, yes, it is. I lived in Italy for 5 years, but I found out that, at least for the time being, it's easier to get to all the courses in Paris. Right now, racing in Europe is transferred the center of it from Italy also to England, and it's quite a bit closer to England for me. And just much more convenient.
You went to grade school and high school in Shawnee Mission, Kansas, didn't you?
Yes, that's right, Sid.
I know there are many friends of yours listening right now to us in Kansas City and around that particular home state of yours where the tall wheat and corn and agriculture grow in our country. You've won at Belgium and Nuremberg, a Swedish Grand Prix, and many places. What is the comparison in your mind between the Indianapolis Speedway and some of the other Grand Prix tracks?
I think this course here is quite difficult, Sid, because it's so easy. Now, this may sound a little bit strange. All the corners are quite basically similar. They're quite high-speed corners, around 135, 140 miles an hour. They carry on for a long, long ways around each corner. I don't know exactly how far around each corner is, but it's quite a long ways. It's hard to set up your car to get around this corner properly. It's also hard for the driver to drive around the corner properly. Basically, this course is pretty simple. So actually, when you have 75 or 65 people trying to qualify on a fairly easy course, driver-wise, that makes it more difficult. If you have 65 people trying to qualify at Nürburgring in Germany, where it's 14 miles long and 178 corners, there's going to be a tremendous difference in time.
Masson, I hope we have more time to talk to you. I'm sure we will before the month is over. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sid.
Thanks to you, Mickey Thompson. We'll look forward to your new book about your life coming out very soon.
Yes, it'll be published by Prentice Hall. Here's my life story, and will be published in about 6 weeks, Sid.
Small edition to match the small wheels?
No, it's quite large.
Now, fans, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing.
Mike, whenever we talk about Sid Collins or any interviews that were done at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, if we're talking about those of the colorful variety, seemingly they always include Andy Granatelli, who was one of the most colorful personalities to ever grace 16th and Georgetown.
Oh, that's right. He had a great relationship with Andy and did a lot. Him and J.C. Agajanian, I think, were two of Sid's favorites to interview because they had a really good rapport. So, yeah, Andy and Sid definitely, they did a lot of interviews together.
This is Andy Granatelli and Colin Chapman. They were joining Sid Collins, talking about, of course, the Lotus boss, Colin Chapman, I should say. And the combination with the two of them, together with Sid Collins, on the last day of qualifying of 1969.
Hey, you brought 11 cars here this year. At least you entered 11 cars. I don't believe they were all physically on the grounds. And you have three in the race. Is this about what you expected?
I expected to get 3.3 cars in the race. My 11 out of the 84 entered meant that I should get 3.3 in to be equal to everybody else in the field. I got three in and very happy. As you know, I would have had many more in, but Colin Chapman decided it would be best if we withdrew the Lotuses, three Lotuses today. And, of course, Mario Andretti wrecked one, so that's four cars there. Two I didn't bring here at all. And the Plymouth, we ran out of time on the Plymouth with a driver. We did actually run 165.2 miles an hour with the Plymouth. But all in all, I'm happy. I've got Mario. I've got him in the front row. I've got Art Pollard in the fourth row. And I've got, of course, now Carl Williams in the race.
We're going to let you listen to this tape and let our audience join us this time. We made an interview with Colin Chapman after the announcement earlier today about the withdrawal of the cars. Come back for your further comments on it. One of the biggest stories of the month is that of Colin Chapman withdrawing his race cars earlier this morning. Graham Hill was to drive one, Jochen Rindt the other, and when Mario Andretti had an accident last Wednesday, Colin Chapman began to think about things. Then you resolve your decision this morning, right, sir?
Yes, I'm afraid that this morning we finally had to make up our mind that to withdraw the cars. the problem had been that after the accident with Andretti's car on Wednesday, we'd analysed the hubs in the car, and it looked as if it was a heat treatment failure. And I couldn't be certain that the remaining hubs in the cars wouldn't suffer from the same problem. So we desperately tried to get new parts made, and it wasn't until 5 o'clock this morning that we finally had to realize that the new parts couldn't be made in time.
I assume then that the drivers Hill and Rent will not take any other ride.
I don't think so. I think it would be very unfair to expect them to jump into a car this late in the day and acclimatize themselves to Indianapolis, bearing in mind that I think it takes European drivers a little longer to get used to this style of racing, because they only do it once a year, as opposed to American drivers who are running ovals every weekend.
Colin, have you ever withdrawn a race car before a race?
No, I'm afraid this is the very first time in 15 years of racing all over the world we've ever actually had to withdraw a car from a race, and I'm tremendously disappointed.
You have made other history here as well. In 1963, your car ran second. In 64, you got in the pole, had the win in 65. In 66, you came in second to Graham Hill, and now drives with you. And after that, things weren't as bright, were they?
No, 67, I'm afraid we lost both our engines fairly on in the race. But of course, last year, we had the turbines running quite well, and we got pole and next second best place on the start. And in fact, Joe Leonard was right up there, seven laps from the end, when he had engine trouble.
And again, many of your cars are still running today under different colors and different names and different engines.
Yes, three of our last year's turbine cars are in fact running with different engines in now. One has an Offie in, one has a Ford, one has a Plymouth. And there's also some of our earlier two-wheel drive cars running under different names and new paint jobs and so on. But we don't actually have any actual works cars running.
So at any rate, regardless of this withdrawal, Colin Chapman will still be evident on May 30 in one way or another.
I hope so.
And we look forward very much to your return next year.
Thank you very much, Sid.
We've been talking with the champion designer and builder extraordinary, Colin Chapman from England. Andy, any further comment to Colin's?
Well, I believe it's all a byproduct of Colin not being able to start on the cars till late January. Had he started on the cars earlier, I think we would have been ready.
Thank you very much, Andy Granatelli, who has three cars qualified for the 1969 500.
Now, you can hear the elegance in the voice of Colin Chapman. Reality is, not every interview that Sid Collins did had that same grace and elegance and flow, really at the fault of no one, Mike, but probably how you feel more often than not when I begin rifting about something. Sid had to jump in and save interviews from time to time, correct?
That's right. This interview, Sid finally has to put out of its misery a little bit in 1958. This is an interview Charlie Brockman did. And Sid finally, at the end of it, I think this is one of those situations where they were running up against time, because this was a live show where he was doing the live qualification show. But Sid definitely comes in and mercifully puts an end to this whole interview.
Now to the starting line for Charlie Brockman.
Get the signal. Thank you very much, Sid Collins. We're down here at the starting line, and we have with us three very rapid pilots, all of whom qualified on the first day of qualification and will be leading the pack down on May 30th. We have Dick Rathman, who set the new qualification record for four laps in the McNamara Special and set his car on the pole. We have Ed Elysian of Oakland, California, who qualified the John Zink Special and set a new one-lap record. And we also have Jimmy Reese of Oklahoma City and now of Speedway, Indiana, who qualified another John Zink Special in the outside position in the front row. Well, Dick, there's a lot of excitement down here, but you seem pretty calm. You're safe.
Oh, Jesus, Charlie. I'm racier than hell.
And we have also Jimmy Reese over here. Jimmy, we'd like to have you come into the microphone. Jimmy, what are your plans on race day?
Well, Charlie, I have a couple of pretty fast boys right beside me. I just see what happens, see how they get down in the first corner, and actually I'm interested in the 200th lap or 500th mile. That's the one that I'm really interested in leading.
Well, Jimmy, we know that that first lap is always a tough one, but you're actually in the best position, aren't you, Jim?
Well, I don't know, Charlie. I'm just very glad that I'm in the race, and we'll see what happens on race day.
You've started how many races here, Jim?
Five.
And what was your best finish?
I finished seventh in 1952 in a John Zink Special.
So you're kind of partial to John Zink, aren't you?
Yes, I generally do pretty good with their equipment. They have about the best equipment here, and the chief mechanic, A.J. Watson, is about the best I've ever run into.
Well, he certainly did a tremendous job this year with his machines. He got two machines in the front row that under the John Zink label, and of course the pole position car also was built by A.J.
Yes, A.J. is a real mechanical genius. He can do more work than two or three other mechanics. banks at the same time. He's real quick, real clean, and I'm real happy to be driving one of his cars.
Jimmy, you did real well in the race last year until you had to go out. What was your difficulty last year?
I was running third at 182 laps or 450 miles, and the throttle pedal fell off.
And that was a very disappointing thing as you were up there competing. You and Jimmy Bryan were having quite a tussle, weren't you?
Yes, we were racing with each other throughout the afternoon for probably 200 miles, and finally I had to give up.
Well, Jimmy, we certainly hope you have good luck on race day, and best wishes to you.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
We have with us also Ed Elysian, and Ed, you're sitting up in a pretty good position. Normally, you're down here one of the last-minute attempts at qualifying, aren't you?
Well, in 54 and 55, I qualified the last 2 days, but last year and this year, things have gone smooth enough where I've been able to qualify that first day.
Well, Ed, it's certainly a good feeling. How does this race car that you're driving this year compare with some of the others you've had in the field?
Well, it's definitely the finest piece of machinery I've ever came here with, and I ran a car here for a few laps last summer with Watson. We made some trial runs, and I knew that the car could definitely sit up in front.
Well, Ed, do you plan to go out and try to lead her all the way, or what are your plans, or have you made them yet?
Well, we haven't decided on anything definite. It's hard to say what can happen, but we'd like to try and lead the race just like the rest of the fellows in the front row, too.
Fans, we'll be back in just a moment. This is the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Network.
Talking to all the John Zink guys back in 1958, getting them set for the race, and then up against it was Sid Collins. And as Mike said, put it out of its misery, right? Sometimes Sid just had to lay the truth on the line, as he did regarding Mack Helling's status for the race on Speedway Gossip in 1952. Mike, set up for me what we're about to hear here.
Well, Sid had his own show, a number of different shows. Obviously, the PM Party was one, and all, you know, Captain Sid's Treasure Hunt, which we like to talk about sometimes. But he had another show during May that was called Speedway Gossip, where he would talk about basically, you know, this guy got into this car today, and this is the fast car of the day, and, you know, things like that. And it was a really interesting show for folks to listen to. But one day he decided to do a little bit of a mailbag segment and answer some questions. And this was the well-known answer for the Speedway Gossip mailbag segment.
First of all, I'd like to answer some of my mail in regard to questions here at the track. And don't forget, if you have any questions, just drop them to me, Sid Collins, care WIBC, Indianapolis, and I'll try my best to answer them for you. Ronald Keaton in Shelbyville asks, is Mack Helling's racing this year? No, Ronald, I'm very sorry. Mack Helling's is not racing this year nor any other year because Mack lost his life in an airplane accident in the mountains of California this last season. He was flying to an automobile race from Los Angeles. The race was to be held in Northern California, and he, along with two others, crashed in the mountains. It took several days to find him, and of course, he has lost his life and will not be here in the future.
You know, it's important to point out, to make the disclaimer that once you have determined that, unfortunately, Max was killed in the plane crash, that means he won't be here this year or any other year moving forward.
Yeah, so it reminds me, Sid's delivery on that reminds me of that line in Die Hard when, you know, Alan Rickman's character's like, he won't be joining us for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly, in that case, was very succinct and to the point, right? Sometimes you say things need to be saved just because they're up against it for the break, which is exactly what we are right now. But that's not to say that we will not continue to hear some classic audio and new unearthed audio here on Beyond the Break.
Now with McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Working on building a dream space, but don't know where to start? At the Home Depot, we can help you bring your dream project to life. Whether you're building a backyard oasis, a podcast studio, or a wellness space, we've got everything you need in store and online. With project guides and free delivery options, it's easy to go from dreaming to doing. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson. Brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Yes, Stark and Wetzel. Accept no substitute when you want golden, flavor-rich bacon to serve with your breakfast eggs, for sandwiches, or main dishes. It's the bright, fresh, government-inspected bacon, strictly controlled for highest quality. According to the Indianapolis Star and the Indianapolis News Consumer Survey, more folks prefer it than any other brand. And once you taste it, you'll know why. Every slice is nut sweet, hickory mellow, lean as good flavor allows, and so rich in important protein. Remember, Stark and Wetzel is the bacon that has earned the good housekeeping seal. And it's guaranteed, in writing, to completely satisfy or your money back. So this week, why not get the best of bacon flavor, bacon nourishment? Get Stark and Wetzel bacon.
Mike, I don't know about you, but any time that I'm going for my bacon for my breakfast sandwiches, I always make sure it's government inspected.
Well, it needs to be government inspected and it needs to be bright. That's what I definitely worry about, whether or not my bacon is bright.
That's right. Well, that's important to see. As a matter of fact, the Stark and Wetzel is so bright, we can see it from the other side of the Hensley Legal Group Command Center. It happens. Hire Hensley, which is where we are putting together this episode of Beyond the Bricks. His name, Sidney Kahn Jr., but you know him as Sid Collins. As a matter of fact, the long-standing voice of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network was lost 49 years ago tomorrow on May 2nd of 1977. But we take a look back at Sid tonight, not just doing the commercials, not just interviewing the drivers or calling the action at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but also, Mike, the reality is that he was doing a variety show, so to speak, a radio show that was a holiday picnic, bringing in the celebrities from around the country that were coming to the Indianapolis 500. And if you did so, that meant that you had the opportunity to join the broadcast booth and win fabulous prizes, so to speak. Correct, Mike?
Oh, yes. One of the greatest gifts ever given on the radio will be in this segment. It's one of my favorite clips of Sid of all time, for sure.
Lauren Green was a star on the television show Bonanza. He visited with Sid during the race in 1967.
Back in the master control tower once again, and a man who certainly is used to riding on the range regardless of weather is Lauren Green from the television show Bonanza. They have their sponsor's pace car, the Chevrolet Camaro, out here today. And Lauren, we apologize to you for our Indiana weather. It normally isn't like this.
Well, I'll tell you, things like this happen at the Ponderosa, too. And it's just too bad that it happened with all these wonderful people out here. My, what a tremendous crowd of people that are out here today.
What do you do on the Ponderosa when it happens?
Well, we...
Mr. Hallman wants to run right now.
Well, we get the cattle in, and we milk them two or three times, you know, just to keep them busy.
And be a full-time job with this crowd.
And then we feed them, and then we go out and try to clean off the range, get all that wet off so the cows can go out again and not slip around so much. No, this is, of course, we're kidding here, but it is too bad that on a great, wonderful day like this that the rain should have to come. But it does happen, you know, and it hasn't happened too often over the years.
Very, very seldom. 1950 is the last time we've had this race stop for rain.
I understand they have big engines here which come out and dry up the track. Is that correct?
That's right. There are some blowers that will go around, but we'll have to have some help from, of course, the water stopping in its downfall first, then some wind to come across. The wind really drives the track as well as anything over this acreage of ground.
I'm a little disappointed. It's developing into quite a race. Roger McCluskey came up awfully good, and Dan Gurney and A.J. Poyt, and a lot of the cars are running real good. And of course that STP, Brunelli Jones car was really humming along, wasn't it?
Off to a fantastic start, and this is the test for it today, and I'm sorry they couldn't approve it in a continuous fashion. We might get back on the track again.
Yeah, I was sorry to see what happened to Mario Andretti, but maybe with this rain, he'll have a chance to come back into the race.
That's right. It could be a very great blessing in disguise for him.
Yeah.
Well, Lauren, enjoy yourself somewhere around here, out of the water. Nice you came by to see us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, Lauren Green.
Lauren Green, at the time of that interview, by the way, and kudos to him, because clearly he followed racing and understood and knew all of those that he was talking about. Lauren Green would have been 52 years old at the time of the airing of that particular interview. Now, as for those that weren't on Bonanza but were in Plantations or New Frontiers elsewhere, how about Gus Grissom? Who, by the way, we just would have a month ago celebrated Gus Grissom, the Hoosiers' 100th birthday. And he did fly around the moon. He also talked with Sid Collins.
The Master Control Tower at Indianapolis once again. A very special guest dropped by to say hello to us for a few seconds. Major Gus Grissom, our astronaut, of whom we're very proud, from Mitchell, Indiana. He's here with the boys, Scott and Mark, today, and I hope you're all having a good time, Major.
Oh, yes, we're enjoying it. We've been looking forward to this race for a long time.
Well, how does the speed out here on the racetrack compare with that in a capsule? They tell me you can't even feel speed in one of those.
Well, that isn't quite true. We can tell that we're moving very rapidly across the Earth, but it's a different element, so it's a different type of speed. This is something, really something here.
I know your friend and ours, Jim Rathman, said he'd like to have been an astronaut. Would you like to have been a race driver?
Oh, yes, I'd still like to race.
The boys are enjoying it, too.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Sid.
Gus Grissom, we're very proud of him from Mitchell, Indiana. And I thank our friend, General Howdy Wilcox, who is in charge of our National Guard here, now living in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you, Fred, very much for bringing him by, too. Gus Grissom from Mitchell, Indiana, was in the parade this morning before the track started with the action of the race cars out here. We received a tremendous applause from this crowd.
Now, Mike, that's what I call one in-depth interview.
Gus was a man of few words, though. So, but he also was, people may not remember, he was briefly a car owner at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So, it's cool to have Gus on the air. No doubt about it. Gus is probably my all-time favorite astronaut. So I'm glad to hear from Gus.
Sid Collins definitely did enjoy interviewing the celebrities, no doubt, including our next, which might have been one of his favorites.
Oh, I think so. I think this is probably Sid's all-time favorite celebrity interview he conducted. This, you could just tell in his voice he's having a good time. And this is definitely an interview I think Sid would have ranked as his probably his favorite.
Understandable. It's Jane Mansfield.
Another guest has stopped by, a young lady. I don't know if this is her first 500-mile race or not, but I know that she's been very much enjoyed being seen here at the track because she's a very famous star. Just back from Europe where she made a movie, Miss Jane Mansfield. Hello,
Jane. Hi, Sid. How are you doing?
Are you having fun?
Yes, I'm having a wonderful time. This is my first 500-mile race. I've been to races in Stockton and other places in California, but nothing was ever like this.
You know Freddie Agabation, my curly friend here?
How are you? Nice seeing you.
Charlie Rockman down at the end of the booth.
Charlie, how are you doing?
Where'd you get this beautiful boutonniere that says 500 on it?
Well, it was given to me at the hotel this morning where we're staying, the Marriott Hotel here in Indianapolis. So I'm all decked out for the race.
Well, we certainly hope that you enjoy yourself, and thanks so much for stopping
by,
Jane.
We sure are. We got in Wednesday, where we did the Loves of Hercules. Mickey and I co-starred in Europe, and we came in especially from Rome to see the race.
Well, you should have a favor. They've nicknamed Jim Herdebees Hercules in this event.
Oh, have they really?
Yes, indeed. Well, you watch
fabulous.
Him, will you?
I think Roger Ward is going to come off with it.
We'll see what a good race predictor you are. Thank you, Miss Jane Mansfield.
Okay.
Right, bye-bye. As I turn back around here again toward the racetrack, Mr. Agabation, we have on the track at the present time, Mr. Jim Rathman still holding down that lead, and Jay Mansfield's choice, Roger Ward, in second spot, and Johnny Thompson in third. Bettenhausen's car evidently is not causing too much trouble, even with the smoke.
No, you're right, Sid, and here comes Troy Ruttman. He just made a quick pit stop, too, while you were looking at what just left.
Luke Walton now in the south pit. Come in, Luke.
Okay. While you were looking at what just left, Mike, right?
Sid was clearly a fan of Jane Mansfield. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I have to give a quick shout out. If you haven't seen the documentary that Mariska Hargitay did on her mom, Jane Mansfield, it was called My Mom, Jane. Really, really well done. Outstanding documentary she did. But you could tell Sid was absolutely a Jane Mansfield fan.
As soon as the documentary ended, Mike said, I'm still looking at what just left, right? As soon as the documentary was ending. Of course, Sid's greatest celebrity interview came in 1966 when he interviewed the Joker, Cesar Romero, and gave him one of the greatest gifts. Mike, this is your favorite gift. You would, if this was at the memorabilia show, I would like to know what Mike Thompson would pay for it.
You say that jokingly. I've bid a couple times like $300 for one of these and not won it. And they've gone for like $500 or $600. So I really am looking for one of these, and I have never been able to buy one. So I truthfully do want to buy one of these. There's no question about it.
So let's unveil and hear what the fabulous prize was.
We have a guest coming by.
we saw last evening. Caesar, how are you? Nice to see you.
How are you?
Let me get up here if I can under these wires and say hello to you. Caesar Romero, a guest who told us last night at the president's reception for the 500 Festival, it was his first 500-mile race, and I'm sorry it had to start off this way for you, my friend.
Well, I am too, Sid. It is my first race, and everything has been so great so far. A tremendously exciting time the 3 days that I've been here up until this present moment. Coming here this morning and going around the track, everybody screaming and yelling and cheering. It was really tremendously exciting, but my heavens, when I saw what happened there, of course, I thought that probably somebody must have been very badly hurt. All I could see were tires flying in the air, and it looked as if cars were turning over, and it was an awful mess, but I think we can all be tremendously grateful that no one was badly hurt at all.
We're thrilled over that feeling right now.
Oh, yes, yes, but it's such a shame, because these men work so hard all year long for this one chance, and it's terrible to see a thing like this happen, to have them get out of the race even before the thing actually hardly got started.
Well, that's the way they feel about it. This is their life they work for, and this is the big one, you know, today, and not even to have a chance to compete is very frustrating indeed.
Well, I can understand that. Well, it's a shame. It's put sort of a damper on it. I don't know why.
Well, it will do that. I think once we start again, of course, you won't see the 33-car field, but you'll see an abbreviated field, and I hope a good race, Caesar.
Well, I hope so, too. But it's been a wonderful experience. I'm delighted to have been here.
Thank you for coming
by. Thank you, Sid.
I'd like to give you a gold-filled Zippo lighter as a guest of the network here for being on the program.
You're
very welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Have a nice time. Caesar Romero, very personable gentleman.
That gold-filled Zippo lighter, if you see one at a memorabilia show, immediately contact Mike Thompson. He's got his three Ben Franklins ready for his starting bid, and we will go from there to see whether or not he can land that coveted prize.
But sometimes, again, you joke around about that, but the last one that sold on eBay sold for $787.
That's why I said your starting bid, right? Not your finishing one. But when it comes to not landing the big prize, sometimes that's exactly what happened for the Indianapolis 500. And Sid had to break the news to everybody, which we will let you hear next.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Working on building a dream space, but don't know where to start? At the Home Depot, we can help you bring your dream project to life. Whether you're building a backyard oasis, a podcast studio, or a wellness space, we've got everything you need in-store and online. With project guides and free delivery options, it's easy to go from dreaming to doing. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson. Brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Fans, as you know, when you put the old family bus into the regular service station, that good old Joe comes out and dumps about 5 gallons of gasoline into the gas tank and cleans the windshield. You talk things over. Well, that boy would never make a race mechanic, not at that pace, because in a speeding race car needs to come in the pits, as you've heard today. The driver signals the crew that he'll be in on the next lap, and they're waiting for him. Idle discussion about the turn of events. Every man has a place, and he better be there. 6 mechanics allowed on the track. That puts one on each wheel, a man to put the fuel in the tank, and a man to service the driver and talk to him and give him instructions. And out he goes again in less than a minute in most cases. And that's what Luke and Greg are checking on for us all day today in a very hot spot in a busy place in the pit area.
Out the driver goes again, and inside the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center. It happens. Hire Hensley is where you will find Landon Coutts, Mike Thompson, myself, Jake Query here, talking about that man's voice that you just heard, Sid Collins, the legendary host, anchor of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, a man whose voice probably as synonymous with the evolution and the upward trajectory of this great event as anybody in its apex years that you can find. And not just broadcasting the race itself, not just giving updates on what was going on at 16th and Georgetown, not just interviewing dignitaries and celebrities that were gracing the Speedway with their presence, but also sometimes breaking news of those that would not be in attendance.
We have four Indiana drivers in the lineup, Bobby Grimm, Gene Hartley, Dwayne Carter, and Jimmy Daywalt, and Freeland is still on it and set to take the white flag for the finish of his qualification run. This concludes another day of time trials from Indianapolis. Join us again tomorrow at the same time for the fourth day of qualifications. That's the day the bumping process begins, assuming the field of 33 is filled prior to 6 p.m. So that by the end of the day, the 33 fastest cars out of the 61 entered here for the 500 will be ready to go May 30th. It's just been announced that 20th Century Fox Studios have informed the BorgWarner Corporation that Joan Collins, who have been assigned to greet the winner of this year's race in Victory Lane and present the BorgWarner Trophy, will not be on hand due to last-minute complications. A new star will be chosen in the next few days. Peerless Heating and Air Conditioning has kept our booth cool today. Our watch is by Bulova. Our producer has been Bill Dean. Plan to join us again next Saturday, May 30th, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for 4.5 hours on this same station, and tomorrow at 5:30 for the wrap-up of the preparatory activity for the 43rd 500-mile race. Freeland is coming in, not going to complete his qualification run. This is Sid Collins saying goodnight across the nation. This is the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Network.
Stay tuned now for the news.
Mike, it's a good thing that the booth was cool and they were able to look at their watches and routinely sweating the fact that Joan Collins, they hadn't gotten word yet. Then they got it, and you said no sweat, right? Because they had Aaron O'Brien show up.
Right, Aaron O'Brien came, and I think that actually, believe it or not, I think that was trading up in 1959. So that was a pretty good deal for the Speedway to get Aaron O'Brien.
So disappointment, once again, is often the case of the Speedway, turns into elation. In 1962, Sid Collins expressed some sadness over some technical difficulties, showing the professional nature that, of course, made him the broadcaster he was.
Incidentally, we regret the WVCG Coral Gables, Florida, and WVMC Mount Carmel, Illinois, failed to receive our initial time trial program yesterday at this time due to technical difficulties. We understand the problems have been corrected, and we're happy to welcome our good friends George Thorpe, manager of WVCG Coral Gables, and John Hurlbut, manager of WVMC Mount Carmel, Illinois, to our network of time trial stations. Incidentally, tickets are still available for this year's 500-mile race.
Sid made sure to give credit to all members of the radio network, like in 1958 when he interviewed producer Bill Dean.
Back in the control tower once again, standing alongside me is our veteran network producer, Bill Dean, who's at my side for the seventh year, directing the multitude of activities that take place over these 414 acres at the Speedway. Bill, first of all, how many stations will we have on the Speedway network this season?
About 300 stations, Sid. Incidentally, the fans may be interested to know that these 300 stations represent 46 states, and they tie into 8,500 miles of major radio trunk line, 20,000 miles of secondary line to carry the greatest of all automobile races. The broadcast will be sent to every English-speaking country in the world, to Latin America, where it will be translated into Spanish through the Voice of America, and also to the Armed Forces through the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Bill, is there still time to join this network if a station desires to carry the great 500-mile race?
Yes, any radio broadcaster outside the immediate area served by the station to which he is now listening is invited to join the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Network for a complete and uninterrupted report of the world's greatest sports spectacle Friday, May 30th. For full details, contact Gil Berry, director.
Bill, let's tell the fans something about our grand staff of broadcasters for the race and the extent of your facilities.
Well, a crew of approximately 30 announcers, technicians, runners, lap men, and various assistants comprise the staff. In the pit area, covering approximately a quarter of a mile of space along the main straightaway here in front of the tower, there are three announcers, Luke Walton, Jack Shapiro, and Greg Smith. These boys will handle the hectic activities in the pits. On the northwest turn, it'll be Bill Froesch. Bob Rhodes on the southeast turn, with Bernie Herman on the back stretch that long straightaway from the southeast turn to the northeast turn. Lou Palmer, new to the race fan audience, will be stationed at this all-important northeast turn. Jim Shelton, veteran Speedway announcer, will be at his usual place at the northwest turn. Bob Hoover, another newcomer to the Speedway Classic, will be stationed in the garage area. Charlie Brockman, of course, will again be assisting you, Sid, in the Terrace Tower.
Now, what are your duties as producer of the greatest spectacle in racing, Bill, on May 30th?
Well, I have many of them, as you know, Sid, but the most important job I have to do on race day is switching from one pickup point to another as rapidly as possible, allowing the announcer to give a clear, concise description of what is happening. I wear a split headset, it's called. A set of earphones with one phone connected to the program line, whereby I can hear what's on the air as the listener hears it. The other phone is connected to all pickup points. I hear calls coming in from all nine announcers around the track, and their conversations with the technicians in the control booth located here in the tower. It can be very confusing, to say the least, listening to two things at one time. It does take concentration. Announcers call me reporting something of interest, and immediately I notify the chief announcer with a flashcard showing the announcer's name and his position. It's my responsibility, too, to determine which pickup point is the most vital to the broadcast at that particular moment. Several calls come in simultaneously from the announcers around the track, and I must choose the most important story and signal other announcers to stand by until they're called upon to report. I work very closely with the switcher, a technician located in the control booth, who is in constant contact with all announcers around the track. Before the transfer is made, the switcher receives direction from me by means of hand signal or flashcard. We strive at all times to make the transfer from one announcer to another quick, clear, and a smooth operation. We do everything we can to provide a clear picture through sound for 4.5 hours.
Thank you very much, Bill Dean, our producer here on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.
Mike, Donald Davidson does it at the sign-off of every broadcast, so I'll let you do it first. That is a thank you to Sid Collins, right?
Yep. Thank you, Sid. Thanks for all you did.
Thank you, Sid, indeed. And thank all of you for listening to Beyond the Bricks.
The playoffs are in full force, and you can trade every game and series on Kalshi. New York is trading at 5% to win the finals. That means a $100 trade pays out $1,870 if they win it all. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. That means no house and no odds makers. And as the odds move, you can buy in or out anytime throughout the postseason. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app. Use code HEART to get $10 when you trade 10. K-A-L-S-H-I, Kalshi. Trade on anything.
Zaxby's Giant Chicken Finger Wraps are no snack. In fact, they're so big, they get their own menu. Get one in your choice of Asian Sensation, Buffalo Blue, and Chicken Bacon Ranch. And you know they're coming packed with 3 crispy, hand-breaded famous fingers, fresh ingredients, and their signature sauce all wrapped to perfection. Big on size, bolder on flavor. But that's just how they do it at Zaxby's. Zaxby's Giant Wraps, they're no snack. Who's got the sauce?